The Fortunes and Misfortunes of the Famous Moll Flanders by Daniel Defoe. Narrated by Jennifer Wagstaff. My true name is so well known in the records or registers at Newgate and in the Old Bailey, and there are some things of such consequence still depending there, relating to my particular conduct, that it is not to be expected I should set my name or the account of my family to this work. Perhaps after my death, it may be better known. At present, it would not be proper, nor not through a general pardon should be issued, even without exceptions and reserve of persons or crimes. It is enough to tell you that as some of my worst comrades, who are out of the way of doing me harm, having gone out of the world by the steps and the string, as I often expected to go, knew me by the name of Moll Flanders. So you may give me leave to speak of myself under that name till I dare own who I have been, as well as who I am. I have been told that in one of the neighbouring nations, whether it be in France or where else I know not, they have an order from the king that when any criminal is condemned, either to die, or to the galleys, or to be transported, if they leave any children, as such are generally unprovided for, by the poverty or forfeiture of their parents, so they are immediately taken into the care of the government, and put into a hospital called the House of Orphans, where they are bred up, clothed, fed, taught, and when fit to go out, are placed out to trades or to services, so as to be well able to provide for themselves by an honest, industrious behaviour. Had this been the custom in our country, I had not been left a poor, desolate girl without friends, without clothes, without help or helper in the world, as was my fate, and by which I was not only exposed to very great distresses, even before I was capable either of understanding my case or how to amend it, but brought into a course of life which was not only scandalous in itself, but which in its ordinary course tended to the swift destruction both of soul and body. But the case was otherwise here. My mother was convicted of felony for a certain petty theft scarce worth naming, vis-à-vis having an opportunity of borrowing 3 pieces of fine holland of a certain draper in Cheapside. The circumstances are too long to repeat, but I have heard them related so many ways that I can scarce be certain which is the right account. However it was, this they all agree in, that my mother pleaded her belly, and being found quick with child, she was respited for about 7 months, in which time having brought me into the world and being about again, she was called down, as they term it, to her former judgment, but obtained the favour of being transported to the plantations, and left me about 30 years old, and in bad hands, you may be sure. This is too near the first hours of my life for me to relate anything of myself but by hearsay. It is enough to mention that as I was born in such an unhappy place, I had no parish to have recourse to for my nourishment in my infancy, nor can I give the least account how I was kept alive, other than that, as I have been told, some relation of my mother's took me away for a while as a nurse, but at whose expense, or by whose direction, I know nothing at all of it. The first account that I can recollect, or could ever learn of myself, was that I had wandered among a crew of those people they call gypsies, or Egyptians. But I believe it was but a very little while that I had been among them, for I had not had my skin discoloured or blackened, as they do very young to all the children they carry about with them. Nor can I tell how I came among them, or how I got from them. It was at Colchester, in Essex, that those people left me, and I have a notion in my head that I left them there. That is, that I hid myself and would not go any farther with them.